such a time, what should a person do? Now, you have been listening to so many of my programs. What was the purpose of the attendance of all those majlises of zikr or talim? Purpose was to build up within oneself that kind of resistance power, that wherever you may be, the environment does not change you, you change the environment. That is the purpose. That you can't lock yourself in one room, you can't lock yourself in one home or one building, you can't be sitting in the masjid 24 hours of the day just making zikr, tilawat, ibadat. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has got a system. It's a world of means, and you have to adopt the means. The businessman will have to go to the business. The farmer will have to go to his farm. The professional person will have to go to his profession. Every person has got some kind of occupation. And there is no such thing that you will reach your office or your shop or your profession or the school or the college or university without crossing and passing areas of fitna. In fact, there will be fitnas in those very places. The colleges have got fitnas, the universities, there are fitnas, the schools have got fitnas, the bazaars, there are fitnas, in the shops, there are fitnas, in the homes, there are fitnas. So you can't close your eyes and say that I'm going to walk blindfolded. You will be passing through all these areas. So the purpose of these majlises of zikr or the majlises of talim or the waaz, the nasihat, the bayans, is to develop within the heart that kind of resistance power, that irrespective of where you are, in what situation you are, what condition you are, which area you are, which streets you have to cross, which classes you have to attend, which offices you have to work in, which airports you have to go to catch the flights, irrespective of where you may be, but you are on guard. You develop that kind of conscious awareness of the presence of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Dunya ke mashghalon mein bhi wo ba khuda rahe, wo sab ke saath reh ke bhi sab se juda rahe. He doesn't give up his worldly occupation, his business and other activities of life, but his heart remains with Allah ta'ala. In the joke and laughter and entertainment and fun and pleasure also, the person's heart is with Allah ta'ala, that he remains within the limits, within the boundaries of Sharia. He doesn't cross that. It's not that the person has to be reading tasbih all the time. And as I mentioned last night in the program, that real holiday is for those people who have really worked so hard for the one term. Because we only started about a month ago, and in fact in some places they only started about 3 weeks ago, some places they started 2 months ago. So within 2 months' time or 1.5 months' time, another 10 days holidays. Why? Because they say they are so tired, that if they don't give them this holiday, then they are bound to expire. They are bound to depart from this world because their brains are so tired that there could be an explosion. So they need a bit of rest. So if there is some student amongst you who has worked that hard, that your brains are so tired, that if you don't give it 10 days of rest, then there is a fear that there could be an explosion, then we will say that definitely you must relax fully and go on the mountain top somewhere, away from society. But we know that that is not the case. Today's student is not working so hard. You will get exceptions, but which student today really spends most of his time in studies? Whether he is a student at the madrasa, is a student at the university or high school or college, you hardly find anybody really applying themselves fully, totally and wholly to their studies. that they don't have time for anything else. Any futile activities they don't have time for. Read the incidents of our Akabir, our Muhaddiseen, Mufassireen. Some of them, when they were occupied in the tafsir and hadith and then mutala and research, they did not even have the time to eat their food. They forgot about their food also. Hazrat Shaykh Zakariya Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, it's mentioned in his Abbiti, sometimes he used to be so engrossed in his research, in his mutala, that his sister used to put the morsel of food in his mouth, but he was glued to the kitab. Even that amount of time they were not prepared to waste. Because time is the most precious commodity. There is nothing that can bring back time. Every second that's gone is gone. The greatest person on this earth was Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. After Allah, he was the greatest. Ba'das Khuda Wazruktui Qissa Mukhtasar. There was no one greater than Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. In fact, the whole universe was created because Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala was going to send Nabi Alayhi Salatu Wasalam onto this earth. Now Nabi Alayhi Salatu Wasalam, being of that caliber, being such a great personality on earth, after Allah being the greatest, we can just imagine what kind of personality he had, or what sifats he had, what characteristic he had, what kamalat he had of nubuwwat. But for him also there was a period of time on the surface of this earth that Allah Ta'ala had destined, that he is going to be born on a certain day and he is going to pass away on a certain day. He is going to live in Makkah Sharif for so many years and he is going to live in Madinah Sharif for so many years. And during his lifetime these are the different battles that will be waged and the different conditions that he will face, and finally his passing away. So that time which Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala had destined for him on the surface of this earth, that time went by means of mu'jaza or miracle. We do get some incidents where the time was held, but the fact is that it moves on. Allah Ta'ala gave a lot of barakat in that time. Some of those people in the past, they used to read 25,000 times this tasbih and 25,000 times that tasbih and 125,000 times some other tasbih. Now how they used to read all that? We don't have the barakat in our time. Before we even start, we say it's already lunchtime. And within a few minutes we say it is supper time. And then the day is gone and the week is gone and the month is gone. Now it's already Easter time, they say. We are in April. And just now will be November again, Ramadan will come away. So we've got no barakat in our time because of our sins, because of the indulgence in haram, displeasing Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala in abundance. So that the time barakat has been taken away. There's no barakat in our time. What Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam achieved in 23 years of his life after having been informed of his nubuwwat in the cave of Hira. What I said is that after having been informed of his nubuwwat, because he was a Nabi before the heavens and earth was created. When Adam alayhi salatu wasalam was bain al ma'i wa tween, Allah Ta'ala had already created the nur of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. But he was informed of his nubuwwat in the 40th year of his life. It is like a person who is multi-rich, he has inherited millions or billions, but he does not know that he has that. But as he grows up, then somebody informs him that your father was an oil sheikh and he left behind all this for you and this is what you are owning. So the information came late, but he was already owning all that wealth and property upon the death of the father. So here Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was a Nabi of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala prior to the creation of everything on this earth or in the heavens or anything, creation of anything. But he was informed in the 40th year in the cave of Hira. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, from that time for the 23 years of his life, the 13 years in Makkah Sharif and 10 years in Madinah Sharif, what he achieved, even if we are given 100,000 years, we cannot achieve that. Because just one person standing up, inviting towards the deen of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, and with all that opposition, and within a short period of time, when he takes the Sahaba ikram for Hajjatul Wida, then 124,000 of them there, each and every one, as I always say, a shining star, a guiding light, with purified souls, no jealousy, no malice, no greed, no envy, and each and every one ready to serve the creation of Allah, ready to serve the deen of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Now in that short period of time, how did this inqilab and revolution come? So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, we will say that there was a lot of barakat in his time. And Allah ta'ala gave that kind of barakat in the life of the sahabas, tabi'in, tabi'in, the awliya'i kiram, that they could achieve in a short period of time which we cannot achieve in years of our lives. But the point which I was emphasizing upon is that they too, that period of time which Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala had set for them for the service of the creation or for the service of deen, whatever was their life span that Allah ta'ala had destined, after the end of that lifespan they passed away from the surface of this earth. That means time went on. Zuhur came, Asr came in their lives, Maghrib came, Isha came, Fajr came, the day went, the weeks went, the months went, the years went, until finally they came to the end of their life. So even they couldn't hold back that. And the effect of that time was felt on their health, on their life. Old age caught up with them, so the effect of that was felt. So this time is very precious, and those who appreciate and value time, then they progress in life. And those who waste time, who idle away, those who do not appreciate this great gift of time, then they are losers in this world and in the akhirat also. Time is something that you cannot bring back. Time that goes by, you cannot bring back. It will go on and on until we come to the end of our lives. So these holidays which you have, it was actually intended to give you a little break from your studies, so that you have a little bit of rest, relaxation, you rejuvenate yourselves, you refreshen your minds, hearts and souls, so that when you get back to studies, then you are fresh. It was not intended to be days of sinning or indulging in any kind of haram or vices. But that is the general rule today. The moment the person gets a holiday, then before the holiday even begins, the plans are already in place. We have to visit this haram institution and go to that haram place and that haram entertainment, and enjoy ourselves. Enjoyment, fun, pleasure. Now that is what everybody seems to be planning, especially the schools, colleges, universities, the students of these institutions. This is their plan. Where else do they go? Or if they are not going anywhere, then all those films which they were not able to see because they were occupied in classwork and school lessons and studies, so now they have all the time in the world to watch all those filthy movies and all the evil and the filth that is spewed out on the television screens or those videos which are sold. Now they will bring all those things into the houses and then watch and view and pass the time. So everybody wants to pass the time. So you, as students, some of you are at the colleges, some of you are at the madrasa. So So we don't say that you must lock yourself up in one room or sit down in the masjid 24 hours and there must be only tasbih, zikr, tilawat. There must be some sort of enjoyment, some sort of entertainment of the halal kind, so that the nafs does not take you to the haram kind. That is the important thing, that be certain that what you are doing is halal, it is permissible. And the niyat also must be good, that you are engaging in this type of entertainment, you are running, you are jogging, you are swimming, or horse riding, or targeting, practicing at the range. All these type of things, whatever the person is doing, his niyat must be correct, that for what am I doing it? If his niyat is so that I retain good health, I stay fresh, so that I can undertake my ibadat, I can do my studies, I can do my research, I can memorize whatever has to be memorized, and I can serve Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's deen, I can serve the creation of Allah ta'ala. Now with these type of intentions and niyats, if the person engages in these type of pleasures or activities, then it will become ibadat. Now outwardly it doesn't look like ibadat. If the person is skipping or jumping or swimming, it doesn't look like ibadat. He is not making namaz, he is not making tahajjud or ishraq. But if his niyat is correct, because he needs all that kind of practice and training, when there is a need for jihad, or when there is a need for the defense of the deen of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, then if he doesn't have any kind of training, how is he going to defend? So if his niyat is correct, it all becomes ibadat. But there also the person must be very careful of nafs and shaitan. The shaitan will say that you need some swimming. So now where he will take you for swimming? In between all those girls that are swimming there in the beachfront. And he will say, we are doing swimming lessons. In the meantime, that person's mind is somewhere else. And nafs and shaitan will drag that person to destruction. Or when it becomes question of jogging, then he will say, join all those clubs. They do a lot of jogging and marathon is coming. So now he'll make that person run behind all those naked ladies that are running. And what he will say, I'm doing jogging. What's wrong with jogging? So the question will be, what's wrong with swimming? What's wrong with jogging? What's wrong with this? So there's nothing wrong with that. But it depends where you are doing it, how you are doing it. So the niyat can sometimes be good. But then with the niyat, you also have to see the place, the occasion. If a person has got an excellent niyat, that if I organize a nice program of dance and music, and then collect all that money and send it to Afghanistan, Kashmir, Palestine, then I can get thousands of rands to help and assist the poor and needy. So the niyat is very good. But we know that that action is not right. Allah is not pleased with that. So even if he collects millions of rands, it will be useless. Allah Ta'ala is not in need of such kind of donations and contributions and service. So with the niyat, we also have to see the occasion, the program, etc. So the program for tomorrow, inshallah, since most of you want to spend your time correctly and you do not want to get caught up in the fitnas over this weekend, so we will make a little bit of sacrifice of our program to accommodate your program. And that is that inshallah, tomorrow night at the madrasa, your friends and yourselves, you can come after Maghrib, be there, inshallah. We will have meal same place, and then we will have a short program, and you sleep there. Get up for tahajjud salat, if you can, otherwise sleep. Get up for fajr salat, but occupy your time in some qasidas, some naat sharif, some qiraat, some entertainment of the halal and permissible kind. But stay away from those areas where there's fitnas, because it takes away all that noor and light of the heart it vanishes within seconds. The person can sense, if Allah Ta'ala has given him a little bit of senses in his heart, then he can sense that there's darkness that has come in. The moment the person starts ogling at those women or listening to the haram music or goes to the casino or even just goes and sees those people who are indulging in haram. Like some people say, we go to the casino but we don't gamble. We just go and observe. They are observers. They got observer status. Many of them have got observer status. I don't know who gave them those status. But they say, we are observers. We just go and observe. We don't go and gamble. So can it be halal and permissible to go and observe somebody that is engaging in haram? If somebody is committing zina and you say, I'm observing, will it be permissible? So what is the difference? So even to be present there and to observe, you are increasing their numbers and you are emulating them. And when the azab of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala comes, or that wrath and anger of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala descends, then all those who are there, they all get caught up in it. On the day of Qiyamah, it is a different thing. If the person wasn't gambling, if he gets saved. But just observing also, it is a sin. Yes, passing through, as I said, that we must change the environment. The environment mustn't change us. So we have to go to certain places, in the bazaars, marketplaces, and schools, colleges. But there, we must change the environment. As that couplet you have heard in the majlises about the environment. Zamana hum ko badal sake ye zamane mein dam nahi. Zamana hum se hai, hum zamane se nahi. Zamana khud hum se hai, hum zamane se nahi. The environment changes us, then what kind of people are we? He says that we change the environment. The environment cannot change us. Because the environment is what you make of it. That is the environment. Like now this part of the night, you all are sitting here. You could have also been in those haram places. So who created this environment? You created it. You made this environment. If you don't sit here, there's no environment. If you sit here, it becomes an environment. We say that this is an environment now of remembrance of Allah Ta'ala, of peace, of sukoon. At this moment, there's no restlessness in the hearts. There's no anxieties and worries. Everybody is peaceful. So what it is? It is an environment that you have created yourself. That when you make up your mind, if a person makes up his mind that I don't want to indulge in sins, then he makes up his environment. But the person who says, I want to go to sins and sinful places, then he's the one that goes there and then he blames the environment. That is why Shaitan says, Hansi aati hai mujhe hazrat insaan par, guna karta hai khud, lanat bhejta hai shaitan par. He says, I feel like laughing at these human beings. They commit the sins and then they curse me. The sins they commit themselves, then they start cursing me. Because shaitan only whispers. One person, one buzrug, he met shaitan. Shaitan was in human form. He said, why do you create so much of mischief everywhere? He said, where do I create mischief? I don't do anything of that nature. He said, but you are the one making everybody fight and kill and murder and everything. He says, no, I don't do nothing of that nature. All right, you come with me. He says, I'll show you what do I do. So he took him to one sweetmeat shop. So there was that gulab jamun sweetness, or that juice, that syrup that was there. So he dipped his finger in the syrup and then he put it on the window pane of the sweetmeat shop. And then he said, now you must see. What did I do? Nothing. I just put a little bit of syrup on that window pane. So after a little while, one fly came and sat on that syrup. The lizard saw the fly, so the lizard started moving towards the fly. Because he put it at a low down, so the lizard went now for the fly. The cat saw the lizard, so the cat jumped for the lizard. In the meantime, there was a dog. The dog saw the cat. The dog hit against the window pane and the window pane burst. So the owner of the shop, he got very angry on the owner of the dog. And he says that your dog burst my window pane. He says, no, but there was a cat there and it went for that cat. So whose cat is that? Look for him. But in any case, they had an argument, and in that argument and in that fight, the shop owner took his gun and he shot the person owning the dog. Thereafter, the people came in, there was a big battle going on, and then the police came and somebody was arrested. Now, all this happened. So Shaitan says, what did I do? I didn't do anything. So I only put a little bit of syrup there. Now I'm putting something sweet there and all these type of things happening and you blame me for it. So he says, Hansi aati hai mujhe hazrat-e insaan par. Guna karta hai khud, lanat bhejta hai Shaitan par. So Shaitan is too shrewd and too sharp. He sometimes shows us things like that. And then he says, I didn't do anything, you did everything. So we have to be on guard against nafs and shaitan. But the environment is something that we create. We have to plan and we have to decide what kind of environment we want. Like this weekend you've got your whole holidays. Now you can plan and program yourself where you want to go, what you want to do. And then nobody forces the person that now you must go to haram places. Does anybody force? So inshallah, that will be the program tomorrow night. And if you all want to be there after Asr, the madrasa will open. You can be there from Asr time. In the morning, inshallah, we will go for a walk. But with regards to other matters, inshallah, by tomorrow afternoon, we'll get to know. So whoever is coming there, you come in there with your own sandwiches and come with your own food, so that we do not have to worry about how many are coming. For Islah purposes, a person must go take his own food and go. Then there's more barakat in it. There's more noor in it. When a person has got a heart problem or he's got some disease or sickness and is coming from up country, then when he phones his specialist, does he tell him he must make also some intizam of biryani there and my lunch and my supper because I'm coming from so far? In fact, he comes there and then he has to ask him how much fees now, so he has to give him even more after that. That chap doesn't even give him a cup of tea there and he must now pay him after the specialist has checked him up. Why? Because he believes that he is in need of that specialist and he is in need of that medication, he is in need of that treatment, and he is in need of cure from that illness and disease. So he is prepared to travel long distances to go and see the specialist and then even pay him fees for his services. But when it comes to deen work, then we want to know, is food arrangement made there? We will be coming there for the program. Is food arrangement made there? Everybody is worried about the food arrangement. Food arrangement, we should make our own food arrangement. Yes, if somebody invited us, then it is a different matter. But we must not wait for food arrangement. Carry our own sandwiches and go. Keep roza and go. It's for the spiritual cure also. You must be prepared to make some sacrifice. Or there are so many takeaways now that looks like very soon all the kitchens will close down. Because in our Sparks Road alone, they say there were 100 takeaways now. So there's so many takeaways. Buy something, eat it. One person met me one day, he's telling me, Molana, something of real concern, something that's really worrying and really bugging. So I thought something serious happened in the world. So he says, no, so many takeaways are opening here. Now these women that are getting married, they say, we're not cooking for lunch, we're not cooking for supper, go and get something from the takeaway. So women are becoming takeaway women. So he was very worried about that. So there is an advantage also, that when the person has come this and has come for a dini program, so then go and get something from the takeaway, as long as it's a halal takeaway. But mashallah, it makes me really very, very happy. We never saw in the past this type of gatherings of young people like you all young people. One or two only maybe here with white beards. But otherwise you all are in your 18s, 20s, 25, 26. Now for you all to even think in this line that we don't want to get caught up in the fitnas, therefore we want some kind of a program for the weekend. If only Allah Ta'ala could show you His pleasure on some screen, then all the others will run and come too. How pleased Allah Ta'ala becomes when a young person who has the strength in his body and he's got everything going for him, but he restrains himself from haram and he grows up in the ibadat of Allah Ta'ala, then according to that hadith, Allah Ta'ala will give them shelter under the shade of His throne when there will be no other shelter. So it's not an ordinary thing, but it's just that we will not appreciate the value of it. We will not see here. People want to see everything in cash. There was one poet, a very experienced and master poet, and he used to go in those days in the courts of the kings, the Mughal kings, whole night there used to be poetry and singing and all kinds of things. So he was one of those who used to go and sing and read his poetry in such places, and sometimes he used to get 100,000, sometimes 50,000, sometimes more, according to the mood of the king or the rulers, depending which couplet they liked or which poetry they liked, and they used to give them gifts. So one student was training to become a shair and a poet under this tutor. So he used to write the poetry and then make him read, and then he used to tell him that this is worth 50,000, this is worth 20,000, this is worth 30,000. Now the mother used to say that, why are you wasting time? What are you going there to that tutor there? He's only interested in poetry and nothing else. You must go to and open up some business or go to the farm. Now that poor old lady, she used to think that this person is wasting his good time. But he says, no, but I've got some poetry. This is what, 20,000, this is 30,000, this is 50,000. She said, alright, well take this and go to the bazaar and go and buy some herbs and come. Bhaji. Or go and buy some tomatoes and come, or some potatoes and come. So now this Bola Bala student also, he went to the market there and he said that I want some tomatoes, I want some potatoes, some onions. So he said, well, it will cost so much, where's the money? So he gave him that poetry. He said, this is the poetry. He said, but I want the money. He says, yeah, this is worth 20,000. In fact, I should get change. And you want money. He says, give me my change now. This is 20,000 worth. So he said, you take your poetry and go from here, go and bring cash and come. So he went back to his ustad and he told him, he said, you said 20,000. That person doesn't want to give me a kilo of potatoes there, or even a few onions. So he said, yes, that is true, because you took the poetry to the wrong place. In that market, they don't understand the value of this poetry. But you come with me when I'm going to the darbar of the king, and then there you will get to know what is the value of this poetry. So he took him with, and when that poetry was recited there, then he got thousands for it. So whether it is a true incident or whether it was by way of example, but what is mentioned in that incident is the truth. That the poetry, the value of that supermarket chap didn't know. To him, he wanted to see notes, cash. In the same way, this amal that we do here, if we are going to look for its value in this world, we will not see it. One subhanallah, if the Quran Sharif, if you have to look at the Hadith Sharif, then the value of that subhanallah. Now if you go to the supermarket and say that, you know, I read about in the Hadith Sharif, this subhanallah has got so much value. So that person will say, I don't know about subhanallah, you can bring cash and come. Because he doesn't know the value of that. But in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's darbar on the day of Qiyamah, there you will get to know what is the value of young people like you all staying away from haram and sitting in this type of majlis and program and intending to stay away from all those things that are displeasing to Allah ta'ala. And it's not that your life will become boring or restless or you won't have enjoyment. Nothing of that nature. those people who have experienced the life of ibadat and zikr and tilawat and pleasing Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, they are not deprived of the good things of this world. In fact, Allah ta'ala gives them much more than others, and Allah ta'ala also gives them an enjoyment in those good things of this world. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala accept your good intentions and make the program fruitful and beneficial, inshallah. Anybody wants to ask anything? Anybody and everybody, as long as they bring the sandwiches and come, they're welcome.
At what time will the program end?
Any time that you wish it to end. If you want it to carry on all night, you carry on all night with your own program. But our program will be the same, 1.5 to 2 hours. Hour and a half after Isha, or whatever it is tomorrow, inshallah, we'll plan it.
On Sunday morning, what time will it?
Sunday morning, what?
What time will it? On Sunday,
you can sleep the whole of Sunday, no problem. Sleep till Zohar, sleep again till Asar, sleep till Maghrib. But if you want to go, there's no hard and fast rules, there's no registration and admission and club membership fees or anything of that nature. We got one pilot here too, inshallah, he'll pilot you all over. Mashallah. That's why you must understand everything in its proper context. It does not mean that I am saying that you must go and get from the takeaway. What I said is that you should try and make your sandwiches or bring some food from home and eat. But if a person does not have those means and is traveling out, now we're going to Johannesburg or somewhere, and the food that we carried got finished, so now what are you going to do? So then you go to some takeaway and buy. But provided that you are certain that this person is selling 100% halal. Don't buy from a shop where they're selling liquor on one side, or they're selling haram chicken one side and they say this is halal pies. So you don't buy from such places. But if there is a need, as when we're traveling, we buy other things, then it's permissible. That I was giving that by way of example, that if a person is coming from, say, Johannesburg or Newcastle or some far distant place to Durban for some program, and he's not invited anywhere, and nobody knows him here, so what must he do? He mustn't forego the program, but he must just go to some takeaway and buy something. But unnecessarily to go and buy, that is what is mentioned in those hikayat. Anything else? Zaki, what do you know? Kitab mein bahut kuch hai. I was going to read an incident of the barkat of Hazrat Haji Imdadullah Rahmatullah Alayhi, that sometimes it is the barkat of the mashayikh that outwardly to us it seems that they haven't been very firm or strong, or how can they give permission for something that is not permissible. But listen to this. Ek shakhs ne Hazrat Haji Sahab Haji Imdadullah Rahmatullah Alayhi ki barkat ki hikayat jo unke maamle mein zahir hui thi mujhse bayan ki ki main ek azad shakhs tha, namaz bhi nahi padhta tha. Now this person says, I was a very free person, I never used to make namaz also, no namaz, no roza, zakat, hajj, nothing. He was one of those whom we say he was a gona. But then see what happened. Hazrat se bayat ko ji chaha, but seeing other people becoming bayat with Hazrat Haji Imdadullah Rahmatullah Alayhi, so he also approached him to become bayat. Hazrat se arz kiya ki aamal ki to himmat nahi hai, and he was quite frank and open. He said, I got no himmat and courage and strength to make any amal. I just want to become bayat, that's all. But amal and all I can't make. I can't even make namaz. Agar azad rakha jaye to bayat hota hun. If you leave me azad, I become bayat. Now this is not the rule, this is not the principle, but exceptions to the rule. But Hazrat must have seen that this person, he's got the very fact that even though he is a free person and he is not concerned about namaz or anything, but he wants to become bayat. So there is some sort of khawf e khuda that is there. What it needs is nurturing. The muhabbat of Allah is there. It needs a little bit of nurturing. That's all. So he said, ye shart hai ki ek to namaz nahi padunga aur ek ye ke naach dekha karunga. He says, two conditions I'll become bayat. One is I won't make namaz. The other one is that I will watch the dancing that takes place in my area. Now these type of conditions will anybody accept? Hazrat ne manzoor farma liya. He said, I accept your two conditions. Aur bayat kar liya. Aur farmaya ke ek shart hamari bhi hai. But since I am accepting your conditions, so you too accept my condition. Ki hum thoda sa zikr tumko batla denge. Usko kar liya karna. Unhone kaha bahut accha. He said, I will give you a little bit of zikr only. You must make that. Do the zikr. He said, well, that seems very simple. Okay, I will do that. Us zikr ka us par ye asar hua ke jab namaz ka waqt aaya, now he started the zikr. Then the time of namaz came. Now he just became bayat, he made a little bit of the zikr and the next namaz time set in. To daf'atan badan mein kharish shuru hui. Now look at the barakat of Hazrat Haji Imdadullah Rahmatullah Ali. And his duas, he must be making so much of duas too. He says, as soon as the time of namaz came, this person started, his body started itching. Now he's scratching his everywhere and nothing seems to be happening. He was becoming restless with the itch on his body and with the rash. Jo bhi tadbir ki gayi sabhi ulti padi. Kahi chambeli ka tel mal rahe hai, kahi aur tadbir kar rahe hai, magar kuch ifaqa nahi. He tried to rub some oil and use some ointment, but nothing was helping. It was increasing. His restlessness was increasing. Then it came to his mind that I rather just wash my hands and feet with all this itching ease with some water. So as soon as he put some water, it stopped. So then it came into his mind that since I've already washed my hands, my face, my feet, why don't I make proper wuzu then? So he made proper wuzu. Then he said, now that I have made wuzu, why should I not make namaz? So he made his namaz. Now look at it, that barakat of the duas of the great awliya, from where he started and he already made his namaz. So he made his namaz. And as soon as he started his namaz, there was complete stop of all itching. There was nothing, no more any kind of rash that was troubling him or any kind of eczema. But after that again, he said, well, I made this one namaz, who's going to make the second namaz? This one was by chance that I had to make, but the next one I'm not going to make. Allah Ta'ala's system is strange. Again, when the next namaz time came, now again he had to start scratching all over. His hands are itching, his face itching, his feet itching. So again he repeated the procedure. And he made his namaz. Then he said, well, this seems that I will have to keep making namaz now. So that namaz now became a habit. So although there was no ikhlas in that namaz in the beginning, because in the beginning it was just because he didn't want his body to itch, so he was making namaz. But that habit will then become, the afterwards ikhlas will come into that habit. So look at the barakat. پھر خیال آیا کہ جب تو نماز پڑھتا ہے اور پانچ وقت خدا کی دربار میں حاضری دیتا ہے تو ناچ میں کیا منہ لے کے جاتا ہے تو وہ ناچ کا دیکھنا بھی چھوٹ گیا. He said that since you are making namaz and you're going to Allah Ta'ala's darbar five times a day, then is it befitting that now you also go to dancing or go and watch those ladies dancing? So make toba from that. So he gave up that too. So the barakat of the duas of the mashayikh of the awliya-i kiram and of the bayat to such kind of akabir. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give you, give me and give the ummat the tawfiq of amal. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Anybody wants to find out anything else? Yes, Muhammad, you want to find out something? No, let's sit down. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين اے اللہ تو رحیم ہے تو کریم ہے تو ستار ہے تو غفار ہے یہ نوجوان اے میرے پیارے خدا تیرا قرب چاہتے ہیں تیری معرفت چاہتے ہیں تیری محبت چاہتے ہیں اے اللہ اس فتنے کے زمانے میں شیطان اور نفس کے فتنوں سے وہ بچنا چاہتے ہیں اے اللہ تو ان کی مدد فرما نصرت فرما ان سب کو تو عافیت دے صحت دے سلامتی دے عزت دے اے اللہ دین کے لیے ان کو قبول فرما لے اے اللہ ان کو اسلام کے لیے قبول فرما لے اے اللہ اسلام کی اور دین کی خدمت کے لیے قبول فرما لے اے اللہ ان سب کو ہر قسم کی عافیت نصیب فرما عزت نصیب فرما ہر قسم کے گناہ معصیت سے ہماری اور ان کی حفاظت فرما اے اللہ پوری امت کے حال پر رحم فرما ان کی پریشانیوں کو دور فرما اے اللہ فلسطین کے مسلمانوں کی مدد اور نصرت فرما کشمیر افغانستان ہندوستان اور سارے عالم کے اندر جہاں کہیں مسلمان تکلیف میں ہے پریشانیوں میں ہے اے اللہ ان سب کی تو مدد اور نصرت فرما پریشانیوں سے حفاظت فرما پریشانیوں کو ختم فرما ربنا تقبل منا انك انت السميع العليم وتب علينا انك انت التواب الرحيم وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمد وآله وأصحابه اجمعين برحمتك يا ارحم الراحمين.